Good evening. How are we doing? Simon here. We finally come to the end of our series of the letters of John. It's been a great series looking at God's love for us and how we can express God's love for other people. And tonight we've come to the third and final letter. And so I'm speaking on the whole book. Fortunately, it's the shortest book in the Bible. Based on number of words, there's a fascinating fact for you. So it shouldn't take too long. I'm going to start by reading John's letter. And it's written to a guy called Gaius, who's based in a church near Ephesus. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honours God. It's for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so, and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Here in the letter, John is commending Gaius and Demetrius in the church for their hospitality and for their love and for welcoming people and for walking in the truth. But he's very critical of a believer called Diotrephes, who apparently refuses to welcome other believers. Welcoming people into church is very important. When I first started coming to West Kirby USC, I was in a difficult place of struggling. And as to be honest, as some of you will know, I was a bit fed up of church. But Ali and my wife and I both felt welcomed and loved by the church. And I guess that's one of the reasons why we're still here. Historically, the church hasn't always had a good reputation for welcoming people. I'm not talking about West Kirby USC, I'm talking about the church. In general, in society, we're often seen as condemning people and judging people rather than loving and welcoming. And here's an example. I don't know what you're thinking when you see that picture. Are you thinking, did he really use the word fags in a sermon? The picture says, God hates fags. Or are you thinking, are there really people who believe that? That God hates gay people because they're gay? Unfortunately, there are groups of people in churches that actively promote hatred against members of the LGBT plus community. For example, the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas State in America. That's where that picture has come from. One of their members protesting or claiming that God hates fags, that God hates gay people, which I don't believe is true at all. It's really sad when we see that. And that's what the world sees. They believe that sometimes the church has hatred for people rather than love. We should always remember that God is love. We've gone through that in this series. From 1 John verse 4. God is love. Historically, a number of churches have also, unfortunately, promoted racism and hatred against people of a different colour. In South Africa, many years ago, the Dutch Reformed Church was a big backer of the system of apartheid because of their belief that white people were superior to black people. What does God think of this? What does he have to say about this? I love Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians 3, verse 28, where he says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." If he was writing today, what would he say? What would he say? There is no white, no black. There is no gay or straight. It's a challenge, isn't it? But God looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at our skin colour, our sexuality, our gender, our culture, where we've come from. He looks at our hearts, and that's what he's calling us to. We're calling us to a relationship with him. He's showing his love for us, and he wants us to be showing his love to others. That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. He looks at our hearts. Racism has no part in 21st century society. Yet there's still protests this year, or there have been, from Black Lives Matters, starting in the States and spread across to the UK, where people are protesting quite rightly about the injustices against black people that are still prevalent in society. It's sad that this still exists today. It should have no part in our church, the church worldwide. Another should homophobia, hatred against gay people, or anybody from the LGBT plus community. God must weep when he hears what we say, do and think against each other. God is love, 1 John verse 4. We have work to do in our church, the church worldwide. But we're okay, aren't we? WSC, I'm okay, aren't I? We love everyone. Well, I think we do a pretty good job. But there's always room for improvement. And I've been examining my own heart as part of preparing this. And I know that deep down there's still some prejudice within me. I'm not perfect. It's hard to admit, but I'm not there yet. I'm a work in progress, aiming to follow God and be more like Jesus. I know there are times in my life when I've thought wrongly and badly of people because they are different to me, because of their different skin colour, or maybe because of their sexuality. It fills me full of shame to think that I've had those thoughts. In today's society, there's a bit of a new morality, a cancel culture, so we can be too afraid to admit that we're wrong, that we've made mistakes, that we have certain prejudices still. People have lost their livelihoods, their jobs, their marriages, because they've said the wrong thing, and it's spread like wildfire through social media, through the news. Maybe some of that is justified, but what society do we live in where there is judgment only? Where there's no chance for redemption, no chance for people to change and to learn from their mistakes and turn around. Fortunately, our faith isn't just about morals and living right. But it's partly that, of course it is. But it starts off with the fact that realizing that we're all sinners, none of us are perfect, we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Fortunately, we have an example in Jesus who welcomed everyone. Even though there were people who hated him, people who despised him, people who beat him, he still loved them. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? He is our hope to save us from ourselves. If we realize our mistakes and where we're going wrong, God is faithful to forgive us and put us on the right path. I love this hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. This is written by John Newton. It was a slave ship captain. It wasn't in the same league as Edward Colston, the slave trader whose statue in Bristol was recently taken down. But he did still captain slave ships, trafficking human cargo to lives of misery, and profited from it. This is an extraordinary hymn, very powerful, because it was written by a man who had such a shameful past. He knew about redemption. God found him and he turned his life around, and he was instrumental in abolishing the slave trade. So there's still hope for us, even in our darkest moments, when we realise we've let God down. God shines his light into our lives and helps us to approach him and obtain forgiveness so we can walk in the truth. As John was writing to Gaius here about walking in the truth. 2 weeks ago on Sunday night, Louise was speaking on 1 John 5. And one of the messages from there was, if we love God, we must love his children, all of his children, not just the ones that are the same as us. Oof, a challenge, isn't it? One of my favourite verses, as I've spoken on this before in church, is Romans 8 verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The world is still waiting to see the children of God be revealed. The world is in need of a people who demonstrates God's love, who walk faithfully in the truth and point people to Jesus. Let's be like Gaius and Demetrius, who walk faithfully, who show God's love, who show hospitality. Let's be people of whom a good report is written, like John's letter. As he said, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. It's a challenge to get rid of our prejudices, our preferences, and to show God's love to everyone. Let's ask God to work in us, to change us, so that we can do that. Last week, Ali and I had a short break away in Corbridge in Northumberland, and we visited a very unusual garden with lots of healing plants and different kind of spiritual areas. It was very, very nice, but a bit strange in places. One particular part of the garden was that there was a henge, a bit like Stonehenge, where there was wooden poles representing different beliefs or faiths or religions. And one of them, which I was drawn to, was the one on Christianity, and there's a picture on screen. On the front of it was a cross and a picture of Jesus, and on each side, going vertically down, were the words love and redemption, leading to two other words, forgiveness and community. That's what we're in need of. Love, redemption, forgiveness and community. And that's what the world's crying out for. God's love to draw them to redemption so they can get forgiveness and become part of his community. Finally, back to the start of the letter. John says this, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And I pray this for us, and I speak this over us tonight. Our soul is doing well. And as that soul is doing well, as we're walking faithfully in his truth, I pray that our health and our lives prosper because of that. So let's set an example. Let's be people that John can write to and say, yeah, you're doing well. Let's be a Gaius or a Demetrius, not a Diotrephes. Let's be people who walk faithfully in the truth, who show God's love and welcome to other people. Amen. I'm just going to finish with a prayer. Lord, I thank you that you have welcomed us in, that you have shown us your love and called us to be your people. Will you help us to be like that? Will you help us to be like the people that John was writing to welcome others, to show hospitality, show your love to all, no matter whether they're different to us or not, so that we can point them to the truth, so they can find forgiveness and become part of your community. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. Stay safe. And we'll see you again soon. Take care.